I am excited, and I am far, far away from y'all. So are y'all all right if I just come on down there? Let me not drop that. That would be terrible. I'm going to come on down here. See your beautiful faces. You know, it's funny. Normally, I'm the one running back and forth when my husband's teaching, and I'm running up and down the steps, grabbing his stuff when he moves. I'm so thankful for him. And I'm not using a Bible that I use all the time, so it's not like folded back. You know that you got a good Bible when you've read it so much that it just automatically just falls right open. This one don't fall right open yet. It kind of new. Well, they kind of told you a little bit about me. My name is Anna Harris. I am barefoot. I hope that's all right. Don't offend nobody. I'm a little bit of a mixture of God only knows. Bunch of city girl, barefoot enough to be a country kid, and uncomfortable enough to I hate bugs and animals. Unless it's a puppy or something cute and fuzzy, then it's a different story. I was born in the North Dakota, but I was raised in Illinois with my father and my mother, who are still married. Thank God for parents who loved God enough to stay married to each other when they want to kill each other sometimes. It's true. Let's just loosen up for a second. We're going to talk truth today. I mean, I'm going to probably hit some really hard truth. I don't sugarcoat nothing. So if you're easily offendable, shake off the spirit of offense in the name of Jesus, because it's liable to happen if you don't shake it away. I was raised a pastor's daughter, so I know the inner workings of the church more than most people in America care to. I've seen hurt firsthand. I've been hurt firsthand, and I've hurt others firsthand. So I know the ins and outs of what the American church can look like. If you read the flyer at all, you read a little bit of my testimony. I've been through abuse. I've been through hurt. I've hurt others, and I know what it's like to know personally and deeply a loving Savior who picked you up when you didn't deserve it. So we moved here, a week ago yesterday? We've been in Chillicothe for a week. And we felt the call to Chillicothe several months ago. We could feel God pulling and drawing us, and I'm so thankful to be here. I can't even. Y'all are amazing, and I know not all of y'all come here, but these people here are amazing. And I can say that because I'm new enough to still call them these people, right? Is that all right? So here's the thing, is I am going to just lay down some very heavy truth for you today. And I'm going to cut it straight. And I'm going to cut it quick, because the truth of the matter is raise your hand if you've ever been hurt. Raise your hand. Keep your hand up if you've ever sat in that hurt. Keep it up if you still can sit here and probably recall some of that hurt. I'm going to raise both of them. Because it's true, and the enemy can use that to keep you where you are. But I have news for you, and I came by to tell you, as our pastor always says, I came by here to tell you that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and he wants to use you, and I don't care what your excuse is, so you might as well just drop that right now. So here's the thing. I want you to turn with me to Ruth chapter 1, verse 8. And y'all didn't holler. Hang on. Shut your Bible. Shut it. That's not how we do. That's not how we do. Open your Bible with me. Thank you. To Ruth chapter 1, verse 8. And you know what? Since it says that up there, I'm not going to try to carry this thing around. And it says, But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back to your mother's home. Say, go back. And the Lord may reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage. And then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. No, they said, we want to go to your people. But Naomi replied, "Why should you go on with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands? No. My daughters return to your parents' home, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible and I were able to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? Of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter than me, for me than you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me." I don't know about you, but it sounds like someone's throwing a pity party. Say this with me. Say, ain't no pity parties allowed. Y'all can have a seat. You don't have to keep on standing there. So I asked you if you've ever experienced pain. Raise your hand if you've ever experienced pain in the church. I'll raise my hands, my feet, my hair. I'll stand up, jump. If you've ever received pain in the church, have you ever experienced pain to where it's completely just debilitating? You can't do nothing. You don't want to look at nobody. You don't want to talk to nobody. All you can do is feel that pain. Shake your head, yes. Let's be real. Let's be real. Shake your head, yes. Here's the thing. Naomi had nothing left but pain. I'll give you a little bit of a backstory in case you don't know it. Naomi went with her husband and her two sons to a place called Moab. They left Bethlehem because there was a famine in the land and they were going to starve to death. So instead of staying in God's promise when it got hard, let's just stop and preach right there. Instead of staying in God's promise when it got hard, they ran away to a place where they thought it was going to be better. Little did they know that they were going to go to a place of death. Naomi then lost her husband. That's hard. But then her son stayed with her, but they decided to take Moabite women and marry them. Go ahead and study that out on your own. It'll open your eyes to a completely different world, and you'll be like, are you kidding me? So they decided to take two Moabite women who serve other gods, and then all of a sudden, after a while, her sons die. So here's this woman, leaves the house of promise, goes to the city of death, loses her husband, then she gains two daughters-in-law, and then she loses her sons before any grandchildren are born. There's no grandchildren yet. They're new. The boys are gone. Naomi gets up because she hears, oh, wait, God fulfilled his promise in the house of promise, so I'm going to go back. So she gathered the girls, and she said, let's go. But on the road, all she started thinking about, and this is just me kind of getting in her brain because, let's face it, we're girls, and we like to dwell on things. Yes, yes, it's all right. Listen, I'm going to need a little bit more noise from y'all. If you're getting it, you're going to have to make some noise. Don't just sit there and stare at me. I'm going to think that I'm speaking in youth or something. Just sit. Yes. Yes, Sister Anna. Nah, I need, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You know what it's like to sit and go through pain, and then you're like, all right, all right, all right. God, I'm going to go back to the place where you called me from. And then on the road, all you can think about is the people that hurt you. All you can think about is the people who did you wrong. All you can think about is the things that you lost back there in the city of death. Leave the death where the death belongs, back in the city of death when you're going to the life. Leave it there. Leave it alone. That was free. You're welcome. So here's the thing, and this is what I'm going to tell you. She gathered the girls up, and she said, come on, Abby, come here, baby. Come here, baby. Stand up and come here. You too, come here. We've got Ruth and Orpah. Ruth and Orpah. And she says, come on. Come on, girls. Come on. Come on, girls. We're going to go. But wait, I've got all this pain. I've done lost everything. Why do I have my girls with me? Why are they following me? Like they belong to me or something. Who do I think that I am? Why? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Go back to the place where you belong. Go back to your own gods. Go back to your families. Go back. Go back. Because I can't offer you a thing. I've got nothing. I've got nothing. Look at my hands. They're empty. I have nothing. My sons are gone. My husband's gone. Go find you a husband. Now, back in those days, if there was a third son, they would have taken the wife, and then they would have brought forth the seed of promise to bear a son, just like Pastor talked about Sunday morning, bear a son for their brother. And she said, I don't have any more sons. And even if I got married, what would you do? Wait 18 years? You're going to be an old lady. You're going to be old. Just stay. Go back. I don't have anything to offer you. Orpah, at first she was like, no, No, we love you, Mama. Because when a woman got married to a man back then, she left her family. She didn't never go back. She wasn't running back to her mama telling her mama all the things her husband did wrong. Let that sink in for a second. I don't know who that's for, but you better stop telling your mama all the things your husband done did wrong and take it to the throne. They weren't running back. They weren't saying, oh, mama, did you see that da-da-da? And that mother-in-law wasn't sitting back there going, boy, you better get a job. You better do this. You ain't doing my daughter right. You need a different man. Nope. Bye, Felicia. So here's the thing. She said, go back. And her daughter said, no, mama, because she became their mama. No, mama, we don't want to. We want to be with you. Orpah was the only one that decided she was going to be obedient after she pursued it. And she said, no, you need to go. Orpah was like, okay. So with tears and when they cried, she walked away. But Ruth, something rose up in Ruth and she said, I don't have anything. When I left my mom and my dad and I clung to my husband, I clung to everything that belonged to him. I'm clung to you and I'm not leaving you. And so she followed her. Naomi shut down. She's like, I ain't talking to this child. She ain't listening to me. So she went on. So she followed her, and when they got there, I'm just going to give you a good synopsis. I ain't reading it all. When they got there, she cried out, and she said, I have nothing, I have nothing, I have nothing. She tried to push her away because she really had nothing. Stop saying you don't have anything. Stop saying you don't have anything. Sometimes we're so focused on our pain, and sometimes we're so focused on the past and the hurt that we've experienced that we can't see God's plan. She was so bombarded by all of the things that she had gone through in the city of death that she couldn't see that God had a plan. And I'm here to tell you, there's been times in my life, and I'm not talking 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. I'm talking about 6, 7 months ago when I was so bombarded by the pain in my life that I experienced in the church, out of the church, in my family, in my past, that I couldn't see that God had a plan. Stop looking at your pain and trust his plan. Because had Naomi realized, I'm going back to Bethlehem. I'm going back to the city where my husband's family's from. Wait a minute. That means somewhere back there, there's somebody who can redeem my girls. You don't understand. You're not hearing me. Sometimes God will pick you up out of your pain, tell you to dust yourself off. The people that are following behind you, you're supposed to walk. And he says, don't worry about what you've gone through. I've got a plan down the road, and I'm going to redeem everything that you've lost. Y'all ain't getting it yet. You ain't getting it yet. She could only see her pain in God, not God's plan. Go to Exodus 4:10 for me. But Moses pleaded with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I am not very good with words. I have never been, and I'm not now. Even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. What's that sound like? Sounds like an excuse to me. My mama said something about excuses, but I ain't going to repeat it. Excuses equal pride. God's word over you isn't good enough. Let that sink in for a second. I'm going to say it one more time. I want you to let it sink in. Excuses equal pride. God's word over you isn't enough. You're saying, but God, look at all the pain I just went through. I can't talk. I get tongue-tied. I can't do this because I've got this excuse. I can't, and I'll tell you what my excuses are, because I'll just preach right here, because I know ain't nobody in here that has excuses to God. God, I can't play piano in front of all these people. I barely know what I'm doing. God, I can't read music, so I can't lead worship. Because how am I supposed to lead a team if I don't even know how to do this? God, I can't speak in front of them. Have you know what I've done? You know what I've done in the past. You know what my past looks like. God, you know that I get angry easily, Father, and you know that I can run at the mouth. God, you know that I'm from the city, and I talk a little funny, and these people, I don't know if they're going to be able to handle that. Excuses are pride. God, your word over my life isn't enough. Naomi was telling God, I don't have anything. He can't fix anything. He's turned his fist to get me against me, and now he doesn't even have a plan for me. So you go back to your God, because apparently your God is going to be better than my God. Come on now. Your God is going to apparently be better than what mine can offer you, because mine hates me. How many times have you felt like you're rejected by God because of things that you've gone through? How many times have you felt like, God, you apparently don't love me, because if you loved me, I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through right now. These people wouldn't be talking bad about me in the church right now. God, if you loved me, I wouldn't be experiencing the pain that I'm going through right now. I didn't leave the pain of the world to come into the pain of the church, God. If you really loved me, so you must not want anything to do with me. You must not have a plan for my life, because had you known all the things that I was going to go through, why did you even bother calling me? Because all you can see is your pain, and you can't see his plan. My God, if we could only see his plan and stop worrying about our pain. So Moses said, God, I can't. Go back to Exodus 4, sweetheart. Moses said, I can't. I'm not good with words. God, I can't. I talk funny. I stutter sometimes. I'm a little bit on the dyslexic side, and I might mix something up. And if I mix up the wrong something, it's going to sound real bad. Don't you think that God was saying to him, why are you worried about that? If I told you to do it, don't you think I'm going to take care of it? If I opened your eyes, Naomi, enough to see that there's bread back in the house and my promise is true, don't you think I'll take care of everything else? Don't you think I'll provide for you what you've already lost? If I restored bread to the house of bread, don't you think I'm going to restore everything you lost in death? Jesus. Go to Jeremiah 1:5-8. He says this. He was speaking to Jeremiah, who was, I believe, a teenager. Young. So my girls, you better listen to what he has to say. I knew you before I formed you. That means before I formed you, I knew everything that was going to be about you. I knew everything that you were going to do. I knew every mistake that you were going to make. I knew every word that was going to be spoken to you. I knew every person that was going to hate you. And I knew every plan that the enemy was going to have to stop what I had for you. That's what he's saying here. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Next one. Oh, sovereign Lord, he says, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. What's that sound like to you? That sounds like an excuse to me. The Lord replied, don't say I am too young. Say, don't say. Y'all got to get a gumption up in your stomach. Say, don't say. You think God's standing up there in heaven looking at you, say, now don't say that, sweetheart. You think if my daughter's going to do something that I know is going to hinder the rest of her life, I'm going to look at her and say, now, baby. Now, y'all know already, if you go to Souls Harbor, that I'm kind of loud. Loud enough where Sister Ann had to move because Pastor said it was too much in one corner. Well, come on now. I'm going to look at my baby, who I love with all of my heart, who I fought for. Let me just give you a little bit of a backstory. My baby was a baby born out of pain. I don't know if any of y'all ever had some pain when you had a baby. But she was born out of pain, and I'm not talking just physical pain. I was 19. I was a pastor's daughter, and I ended up in a very bad relationship. Now I'm going to save all the details because my baby's here, and she's not pain to me. She is a blessing, and I am honored to be called. And I'm not talking about just giving birth and having a kid. I was called and anointed to be her mother. And I thank God every day that I was anointed to be her mama. I had a child out of pain. And now that child who I love and I've given everything for and I have fought hard, hard for, I'm not going to look at her and say, now, baby, don't run in front of that Mercedes because you're going to get ran over. I'm going to look at her and I'm going to say, stop it. Don't you run out there. So don't you think, pull that back up, honey. Don't you think that God says, don't you dare say I am young. That was a word of correction. I'm here to tell you that tonight, today, this afternoon, this morning, I don't even care what time it is. The Spirit knows what time it is in your life, and he's telling you, don't you dare say that what I say over you isn't true. Don't you dare say it. You must go wherever I send you, and you must say whatever I tell you. Don't you dare be afraid of the people, for I will be with you to protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Don't you dare Who do you think you are telling God that he can't do what he said he could do? He's the one who hung the stars in the sky, is he not? Is he not the one who dipped down with his knees in the dirt and formed man from the dust and breathed his life in your lungs? Don't you dare tell him that his word over you is not enough. I don't care what your excuse is today. God has called you, God has anointed you, and God is calling you to go do what you were created to do. Don't you dare say, I am too young. These are some of my excuses, and I wrote these down. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be very honest with you. Very honest with you. Up until about, 7 o'clock last night, I probably laid my face on the table and walked around my kitchen and pulled my hair and looked in the mirror and went to the bathroom and washed my hands and looked in the mirror again. And I said, God, are you sure you want me to speak to these ladies? Because I don't know what you want me to say. And his response was, really? And then I walked to the living room again, and my husband was gone. And I laid myself on the floor with 3 Bibles, 2 notebooks, my cell phone, and a pen. And I laid myself on the floor, and I'll tell you, I actually started writing out my testimony. And then I took that piece of paper and I crumbled it up and I threw it across the room in anger. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I don't even care what you think about it. My days of caring what people thought are long gone as soon as God said, don't worry about it. And I said, all right. Because I love him enough to trust him. Because he's done taking me through a lot. And I've learned that I can trust him. And so I lay there on the floor and I cried. And I said, God, I do not deserve any moment in your presence, but you love me enough. As I looked at that piece of paper and I had described the pain that I had been through, I think I wrote that out for myself. Now, I love y'all. Y'all pretty. Y'all anointed. But I'm telling you right now, that moment was not for you. That moment was for me. I needed to remember who God was. I needed to remember who and what he did for me so that I could say, I don't care what y'all think, because I trust him. So I laid there and I wrote that out and I crumbled it up and I threw it across the room and I was mad. My husband came through the door. We had a conversation. We're checking on Michael. Is he all right? He's in some pain. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I have a normal conversation. And then I looked at him and I said, I don't know what I'm doing. And he said, get it together. And he walked away. And I said, you sucker. So I walked away and I went to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror. I washed my hands and I looked in the mirror and I said, what are you doing? And then I looked at myself and I said, get it together. Thank you. And then last night I was laying across my bed and all the distractions came. I had my Bible and my other Bible and my notebook and my pen and my cell phone was laying there. And my sister started calling me. Now, my sister lives 9 hours away from me and my mama lives 5 hours away from me. And we're a big family. And so my mom and my sister and my other sister, we were all going to group video chat. I got to see their beautiful faces and I'm thinking, Do I not answer it? Do I focus? Do I not? I don't know what I'm doing anyway, so I answer the phone. And I start talking to my mom, and I start talking to my sister. Now, my sister and I, we talk about superficial sister things. How's the kids? She's pregnant. Are you having that baby yet? Push him out. Tell him to get out. Where I'm having the normal sister conversations. I'm in the middle of 9 kids, and so there's a lot of normal conversations that we're going to have. And I'm sitting there, and she said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm getting ready for tomorrow. Well, let me lie to you. I'm staring at a piece of paper because I don't know what I'm speaking about tomorrow. And she goes, well, what are you thinking about? And I started to tell her about Naomi and Ruth. And then something just clicked in my spirit, and I said, and Naomi thought that she didn't have anything to offer, but God said this, and then God said this, and I went, wait a minute. God, didn't I just tell you that I don't think that I have anything to offer? Yep. Okay. All right, God. So I wrote a couple things out, a little bullet points, and then I closed it, and I said, Father, this is your word. I'm not worried about it, and I put it away. I woke up this morning, and I began to pray, and I said, God, you have a plan. And I'm going to need you to open up the heavens, and I need you to pour out that plan so that it's not my plan, it's your plan. And God began to speak to me about some things in my own life where I've said, I can't do. I don't think. Will they? And I'll tell you, back in Exodus 4, you don't have to go back to it. Back in Exodus 4, before he told God that he couldn't because his tongue was tied and he was a stutterer, he told God, but what if they don't? What if they can't listen to me? And I'm sure one of the thoughts that came in his mind was, well, I kind of killed somebody, so that might be a problem. And I'll tell you, there's been times where I've looked and I've said, God, I've kind of done this before. That might be a problem. God, I've kind of run off at the mouth sometimes, and you know, I may not have physically laid my hands on nobody to kill him, but I kind of said some stuff, and I might have killed somebody with my words. So that might be a problem. And I said, oh, God, that's all the excuses I've given you. And I was in a conversation the other day with Pastor Tommy and my husband and Miss Beth. We were at lunch. And I said to him, he said, I expect honesty. We're having a conversation because we're new on staff, and that's what you do. And we're having a conversation, and he goes, I expect honesty. And he went down his list of expectations and what he wants to see and how he wants to see God move. And I sat there for a minute, and I said, And I just listened, and I'm listening. Somebody try and call me. And I'm listening, and I said, well, Pastor, since we talk about honesty, let me be honest with you. I am so far outside of my comfort zone. Now, if you know our pastor, you know the look I got. And he went like this and he said, excuse me. And I went, oh, snap. I'm in trouble. He goes, listen to me. And I said, okay. That gumption that I got, that little bit of loudness I got real quiet. I said, okay. And he said, you're outside of your comfort zone. And I said, well, yeah. And I started to try to make an excuse. And then I looked at his face and I was like, I better just show up right now. And he said, get outside of your comfort zone and walk in your anointing. And I went, okay. And then in my head, I started making all these excuses why I couldn't. And then in my spirit, I just felt a shut up. Okay. All right, God. Because I said stuff like this, I'm not good enough. I know worship leaders that are far better than me. I'm no Kim Walker. And I've said stuff like, God, you know where I've been. You know what I've done. And I've said stuff like, you know my mistakes, even the mistakes that I made like 2 months ago, yesterday, I don't know, last night when I yelled at my husband. God, I'm scared. That's just not how I roll. Now, I don't know how y'all talk, but I didn't know how else to say that. Because sometimes in worship, and I'll just touch this for a second, because worship's kind of like a thing that is like my heartbeat. Because I didn't deserve what he gave me, so I'm going to give everything that I have. He gave everything for me, so I'm not holding back a single thing. Because he deserves every ounce of what I've got inside of me. God, you're worth it. And so I've said things like, I've seen people say this, so that's just not how I roll. People who stand during worship and they just stand there and they sing the song. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever, for he is, that is not worship. And then they respond with, well, that's just not how I do. I don't care how you do. I don't care how you think that Jesus wanted to be stripped of his skin? You think that that's how he did? You think he enjoyed it? No. So stop it. Cut it out. That's not how I do. Mm-mm. That's so far outside of my comfort zone, I just don't know that I can do it. You said something, where'd she go? You said something earlier, Sister Bonnie, and it blessed the mess out of me. When you said, go to her and speak, because she may not right away. It's a new thing. It's a new place. It's a little scary. How many of y'all going to walk in a place and just automatically be like, hey, how's it going? I don't know you. Nope. Not today. Uh-uh. How many of y'all walked in here in the door and people that you've never seen before, that's what you did? Nope. Because that's not how we roll. Mm-mm. Women, we do it like this. We walk into a room. We survey the room. See that we got a bad slouch. Make sure our hair is done. So we go to the bathroom first when you walk into a new place. First, make sure your hair is right. Make sure you don't have mascara dripping down your face. Especially if it's hot outside. Let me make sure. And you walk in like, hello. Hi. Nice to see you. Since I work with teenagers, it a lot of times it comes like this. So here the door can come in the room and they're going to be like, okay, there they are. Hey. And they're looking around like, don't you dare talk to me, lady. Don't talk to me. She loud. No, don't talk about me. You know how many times I've walked into a room full of teenagers? They're like, what's wrong with her? What is the matter with that crazy woman? But they're whispering to each other, she's crazy. Jennifer's shaking her head. Yes. Yes, she is. But that's how we do. We walk into a room and we're composed and try to have it together because nobody can see past this superficial, you know, this how I roll. I got it together. Don't trip. Don't trip. And that's how we walk in because we're thinking if they can't see my faults, then maybe God could use me. And so a lot of times I am very guilty of walking into a place and saying, well, if they don't know that I'm loud, then maybe God will speak. He said, I'm going to speak through you whether you're loud, whether you stand upside down, whether you wear bright orange and neon green together. He don't care. He said, if I'm going to use you, I'm going to use you if you're willing. I don't care what your excuses are. Your excuses are pride. That's your pride. God, you can't use past what I've got on this side because, you know. And then he responds with, don't you know I made the foundations of the earth? Don't you know that I created the very heartbeat in your chest? Even the little bit of a heartbeat that might have a slight bit of an arrhythmia that don't hurt you, but it causes you to walk to the beat of your own drum? Don't you know I made that inside of you? Do you really think that I'm scared about the little bit of draw that you've got? Do you think that I'm scared about the little bit of past that you may have? Do you think I'm scared about the fact that you have a past? Nope. Not today, not ever. Excuses are pride. They're pride. And I said to Pastor Tommy, I said, it's outside of my comfort zone. And he responded with, get out of your comfort zone and get into the anointing. Because I'm telling you this right now, continuing to walk in your excuses is proof that you are relying on your own ability versus God's anointing. You're no longer walking by the Spirit, you're walking by the flesh. And I don't care if you speak in tongues longer than any person you've ever met in your life. And I don't care if you find more altar time than anybody else. Until you get outside of your own ability, you will not walk in the Spirit and you will not walk in the anointing that's on your life. It cannot be done by you. And you've been sitting for so long and I don't know who this is for. I don't know if it's just for me and I really don't care. All I know is God said to say this, I don't care. I do not care. How many times you've laid your face at the altar? If you're sitting there and you're saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. He says, okay, duh, you can't. I'm not calling you to do something that you can do. I'm calling you to do something called surrender. And when you surrender to me, then you can, because you're no longer walking in your flesh. You're walking in the Spirit. And he says, I didn't call you to walk after your flesh. I didn't call you to continue doing what you can do. The ability to do something outside of the anointing of God is called performance. When you lay that down and he takes you past your gift, and I don't care what your gift is. I do music and photography and art. So if I lay down my talent and my ability, His anointing will take me where the gifting never could. And I might not be Kim Walker, and I don't ever want to be Kim Walker. My name is Anna Harris. I was a broken woman who laid in the floor and I cried out to God. God, I know you're real. I've seen your power and I've seen your anointing. I've seen miracles and I've seen them happen. And I laid there and I cried and I said, but God, I'm so broken. And right now I need to know that you love me. And he reached down and he wrapped his arms around me and he said, I love you. And I am telling you right now, as sure as the sun will rise in the morning, as long as Jesus tarries, as sure as that sun's going to come up tomorrow morning, as sure as it's going to set tonight, and as sure as my car sitting in the parking lot is silver, I am telling you right now, that every single night that I laid down to go to sleep while I was 19 years old and pregnant and alone, rejected by the church, and all I had surrounding me was death in my heart, and I wanted to die. I wanted to die. But I wouldn't commit suicide because I didn't want to go to hell. So I was like, God, I wish you would kill me. I wish you would. And as sure as the sky is blue and the sun will rise in the morning, in that moment he wrapped his arms and I felt them physically wrap all around me. And he said, I love you. And not only did he say it, but I felt it physically. Now I know not everybody can say that. But every single night that I went to sleep as a single mom, pregnant and scared, rejected, hated, lied about, every night that I went to sleep, he wrapped his arms around me like a husband would a wife. And he comforted me in my sleep because he loved me. He loved me. And the same God who said that is the same God that said, I want to use you to speak to the nation. And I said, you outside your mind. God, you know I. And he said, be quiet. And I had a moment one time at the place where we just left. And before we came here, it was literally a couple weeks before God began transitioning us. And I went to my pastor, who I love. I loved my pastor, and I still do, Bishop David Tennyson. I love them, both him and his wife, Sister Kim. And I went to him, and I said, I feel so lost. And he said the harshest words anybody ever said to me before. And he said, so sit down. And I said, what? Sit down. You want to give up? You feel lost? You can't do it? Sit down. Warm a bench. And I started to cry, and I said, I don't want to. I don't want to. He goes, as soon as you learn to stop walking by the flesh and learn how to walk by the Spirit, then things are going to change for you. And I was like, okay. All right. And I said, God, I can't. And he said, but I can. And I said, God, why are you calling me to do this? You know my ability. And he says, yeah, but you don't know mine. And I said, God, you know I'm loud, right? And he said, yep, you know I'm louder. And I said, God, you know sometimes I get confused on the piano and play the wrong notes. He goes, yeah, but my anointing, how? And I said, but God... And his answer to me right now is, but what? I've called and I've anointed you. Thank you, Father. Here's the thing. You think you have nothing to offer. Naomi. Yep. Your name's Naomi. And you are coming out of a place of death and brokenness. And you're finding yourself surrounded by people who need something from you. And you say, I have nothing. God, I have nothing. And all you can see is your pain. And all you can see is all of your excuses. But your excuses are actually your pride. You said, but I don't have any pride. I'm too broken. No, no. Brokenness that exalts itself above the name of Jesus is pride. And you say, but I have nothing to offer them. Everything that comes near me dies. Spiritually. Sometimes physically. All I've known is brokenness. I have nothing. Naomi. Naomi. You think you have nothing to offer Ruth. But do you not understand that the promise of God will come through you if you look past your brokenness to the place of restoration? Naomi. Naomi. You think that you're dried up and done. You got nothing more to give. It can't go beyond here. Ruth chapter 4. Verse 17, it says, the neighbor women said, now at last, Naomi has a son again. And they name him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David. Can I tell you, out of the lineage of David came the Messiah, the Redeemer. Naomi, stop looking at your pain and see that God has a plan. Because if you can see past what you've been through, if you can see past what you're going through, Naomi, if you can look past the place of death to the place of restoration and see the one that I've attached to you, her name is Ruth, and she's going to meet a man named Boaz, and Ruth's going to work herself in the fields, and eventually Boaz will come over her like a kinsman redeemer. And out of that place in the physical kinsman redeemer, I will bring one who will redeem the sons of man. Naomi, stop looking at your pain. Stop looking at what you cannot offer. I am going to tell you right now, right here, right now, in the middle of Chillicothe, Missouri, all around us is cornfields. You think you ain't got anything. I'm going to tell you, you don't. You cannot offer anything to this world. But if you offer everything that you have, including the pain that you've been through, including all of your excuses, and lay down your pride and give it to the one who will redeem everything, through you, he will bring his promise and redeem the sons of our men and women and the ones in the streets and the ones with a needle in their arm. Through you obeying and surrendering everything that you have, he will redeem them. Stop relying on your own ability because you can't. I said, God, I can. He says, no kidding. Duh, you can't. And if you could, I would take you past what you could. Moses stuttered.
I can't do it.
Jeremiah was a child. Esther was a girl. Not only was Esther a girl, Esther was a Jewish woman who had to hide because they wanted to kill them. She was brought there in captivity. Both of her parents were killed. And now she lives with a cousin. I can't. And God put her in a place where he said, nope, but I can. And she saved an entire generation through her surrender. Naomi, lay down your pride. Lay down your I can't. Let it be met with his I can. And you'll see an entire generation completely transformed. You want to complain about what those girls out there are doing? Naomi, step out of your own pain. Step out of your own hurt. Go out to those streets and let the love of God surround those girls. And you'll see his promise come to pass. Naomi, no kidding, you can't. But I'm scared. I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to mess it up. Okay. 1 John 4:18 says this. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it's for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. Maybe, just maybe, your I'm afraid means that you don't know him. Okay, God, I must not know you. I must not know your actual love, because your love compels me to go to a place that I never could. Your love takes me past anything I've ever experienced, and your love makes me do things that I would never dare to do. Now, this one's not up there, but in Luke chapter 7, it tells a story of a woman who went into a room where she didn't belong, dumped out all she had in a box, and with tears rolling down her face, wrapped herself around the feet of a man named Jesus. Can I tell you a story? She was a prostitute. She didn't belong there. This was a Pharisee's house. He was a religious leader. What is a prostitute doing in the house of a religious leader with her hair down? Because they were supposed to wear their hair up, and if you're a prostitute, your hair was down. Look it up, I promise. And she laid there at his feet, compelled by love, passed every boundary, and poured everything she had out. His love will compel you to do things that you could never do on your own, ever. So if you know his love, it will make you fearless. Perfect love casts out all fear. I love my daughter. And had she been standing in the middle of a street and a car coming her direction, I would not worry about the car. I would charge her and push her out of the way, regardless of whatever happened to me. Love compels you to do things that you would never normally do. His love will take you past all of your boundaries, and his anointing will keep you there. This is what I wrote down this morning, or late last night. Then the Holy Spirit said, you absolutely have to say it. Rise up, woman of God. Shake the past, the pain, your shortcomings from your feet. Be filled with the Spirit. Walk in anointing fearlessly with boldness, relying 100% not on what you have to offer, but what the Spirit of God inside of you will do. Rise up, woman of God, fearlessly and boldly. Shake the past, shake your shortcomings, shake what you can't do in your own ability from your feet, and walk in anointing and in the Spirit of God. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about what you can do. Walk in his anointing. Stand to your feet with me this afternoon. Father, you are holy. God, there is none beside you. There is none before you. God, I ask, Lord Jesus, that right now, here in this moment, for every person that sound underneath my sound, underneath the sound of my voice, God. God, you've called them. God, you have anointed them, and you're calling them for such a time and a season as this. God, I ask, Lord Jesus, that you call Naomi from her pain to the place of redemption. God, you take us to places that we can't go on our own. God, you open doors that no man can close, and you open doors that no man can open either. Father, I right now, in this moment, God, I lay down all of my I can'ts, and I surrender to your Spirit and to your anointing. God, I ask, Lord Jesus, that in the coming moments, God, that you move and you transform us like never before. If that's you this afternoon and you say, I have given God so many excuses. I have so many reasons why I can't. My life is full of so much pain, and I cannot see past it to see his plan. I want you to make your way up here to the front. Right now, don't hold back. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I ask, Lord Jesus, that you pour out your anointing and your spirit. God, that nothing will hinder your anointing.